unfortunately. I've been a pastor long enough to, I tend to associate different songs with different people. This was the favorite song of a lady in one of my churches. I did her funeral 20 days short of her 100th birthday. And whenever we'd have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and whenever she would raise her hand, you always knew what song she was going to request, and it was Others. And she actually lived her life like that, and it was she was quite an interesting lady. When I left that particular church to go to another church, I happened to pass her house, and she was 96 years old at the time. And she was outside cutting the grass with her power mower. So she was quite a woman. I have one more passage of scripture, actually just a verse to read to you. And it's from the 94th Psalm, the 17th verse. And it goes like this. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon lived in the land of silence. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon lived in the land of silence. Most of you probably know that there is a popular show on the Fox News channel called The O'Reilly Factor. Not this O'Reilly, but another O'Reilly. Most of you also probably know that there is a segment on that show that host Bill O'Reilly calls the No Spin Zone. Well, several years ago, he was using that segment to debate the Reverend Thomas Toole, then pastor of the Fifth Street Presbyterian Church in New York City. Together with his congregation, Pastor Toole developed a very active and essential ministry to the homeless of Midtown Manhattan. Today, even after Pastor Toole is gone, the members of that church continue to be well known for their advocating for affordable housing and other basic services to the poor. Well, in challenging the pastor for his activism, and after surmising that the poor only have themselves to blame for their plight, after all, they're all drunks and addicts, right? O'Reilly referenced the Bible in saying, Jesus would have demanded that the homeless people shape themselves up or else, because we all know the passage, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Oops. Mr. O'Reilly may know his politics, but he doesn't know his Bible. For as I am really, really hoping that all of you already know, the popular verse, the Lord helps those who help themselves, is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. A recent CNN.com article described the Bible as the most revered yet most misquoted book in America. The most revered yet most misquoted book in all of America. Politicians, coaches, TV commentators, and so many others constantly refer to passages that they believe are part of Scripture, but are not. A professor at the University of Tennessee once had to convince a student that the phrase, "that dog won't hunt," did not appear in the book of Proverbs. You have to understand the University of Tennessee. You know why they wear that color orange, don't you? They that way they go to football games on Saturday, go hunting on Sunday, and pick up trash on Monday. just remember that next time you watch a University of Tennessee game. Anyway, that professor has written, most people who profess a deep love for the Bible have never actually read it. Most people who have professed a deep love for the Bible have never actually read it. They have memorized parts of text that they could string together to prove the biblical basis for whatever they believe in, but they ignore the vast majority of the text. The professor goes on to say that these people have added bits of folk wisdom that sound as if they're from the Bible to back up their thinking. He calls those bits of folk wisdom, such as the always popular charity begins at home, phantom verses. Phantom verses. Even though these phantom verses are not in the Bible and often present ideas that are quite unbiblical, through the years they have had a tremendous impact on our thinking as a church and a nation. More often than not, their use has moved us farther and farther away from the type of people that God intended us to be. Perhaps it would do us well to take some time and explore some of these phantom verses, like cleanliness is next to godliness. That ain't from the Bible. And the always popular, God will never give you more than you could handle. Oh, I hate that verse. I'll talk about that in the next few weeks. Just let me tell you that if I ever hear any of you say that, I'm going to slap you. maybe it would be to our benefit to put some of these phantom verses under the bright light of Scripture and see how they stack up. Over the next few weeks, like I said, we're going to look at a few of these phantom verses. And I would like to start with that which George Barna and the Barna Research Group says is the most widely known Bible verse among adult and teen believers. A full 75% of those polled think the verse, "The Lord helps those who help themselves," is in the Bible. But it's not. If you think it is, you're going to be disappointed. That familiar phrase comes not from the mouth of Isaiah or Jeremiah or Paul or even Jesus. Rather, it comes from the pen of Ben Franklin, and he probably stole it from Aesop. In its present form, it was first found in the 1736 edition of Poor Richard's Almanac. That is the same publication, you may remember, where we also find these tidbits of 18th century wisdom. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. We all know that one. Three may keep a secret if two are dead. And fish and visitors stink after 3 days. And the always important, let thy maidservant be faithful, strong, and homely. If only our politicians would heed that verse. These are all sayings that good old Ben hoped would give people guidance in their daily lives. But none of them, obviously, are from God's Word. As far as the Lord helps those who help themselves goes, historians are not surprised that this particular founding father espoused it. The son of a lower class Philadelphia candle and soap maker, Benjamin Franklin may have been the first true American rags-to-riches story. And the fact that he espoused deism, that Enlightenment idea that professed that God was like the cosmic watchmaker and not really involved in the workings of the everyday world, certainly added to Ben's understanding of things. Benjamin Franklin and his spiritual descendants like Bill O'Reilly put their trust in the not in the Bible idea that the Lord helps those who help themselves. Now, the interesting thing about this so-called phantom verse is that there are some actual passages of scriptures that offer an almost similar sounding theme. The book of Proverbs, for example, which gives advice to young men on how to be successful, praises the industriousness of a certain six-legged insect when it says, "Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise." Go to the ant, consider its ways, and be wise. And then there is that famous line from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, which says, "Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. from where we get the more familiar, them's that work is them's that eat. Both almost sort of sound like what Ben had to say. Both almost head down that same philosophical path. Yet one cannot simply pluck those two verses out of their context and expect them to back up Franklin's words. The book of Proverbs, for example, offered its advice, as I said, to young men. But not just any young men who were in the royal court, those young men whose family ties and social status had already given them a leg up on life. And the words of 2 Thessalonians were addressed to those who believed that the return of Christ was imminent. They had quit their jobs and were now simply sponging off others in order to get by. What kind of example, Paul asks, was that setting for those both inside and outside the church? Work, as Jesus reminded us, until the Master returns. There is a measure of truth in Franklin's famous saying, you see, but it is only half a truth. And the following of that half-truth can be very, very dangerous. Why? Because it seems fairly clear in the Bible, when it's taken in its whole, that it teaches the exact opposite. The Bible teaches the exact opposite of what Franklin had to say. Over and over again, we learn that God is very concerned, very, very concerned for those who cannot help themselves. In that long list of do's and don'ts, right after the Ten Commandments, for example, God reminded the people of Israel not to abuse widows, orphans, and foreigners, those who, because of the way society was structured back then, found it very, very difficult to take care of themselves. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' recap of the law prior to Israel's entry into the promised land, Israel is reminded that God is the one who executes justice for those same widows and orphans, and one who loves the stranger in the land, providing them with food and clothing. Israel was reminded to do the very same thing that God did. Why? Because you were strangers in the land of Egypt, Moses reminded his people. When they were slaves of Egypt, when they were in the mud pits of Pharaoh and could not do anything for themselves, God provided the help and assistance that they so desperately needed. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, Moses said. Therefore, I command you to do this. In other words, God did it for you. Now you do it for others. Centuries later, the prophet Isaiah came along and saying much the same thing, telling Israel that God sees offerings and incense and all other elements of fancy worship as futile attempts at faithful living. Rather than what they were doing, the prophet insisted that God wanted them to learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, seek justice for the widow. Once again, all of those who found it nearly impossible to help themselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves. In verse after verse, in example after example, the Old Testament stands in complete opposition to the beloved thinking of old Ben Franklin. And it's not much different in the New Testament. In one of Jesus' more familiar parables, the one that you just heard me read, he tells of that time in the future when the nations will be judged. At that time, the Son of Man will separate the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be put on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the criteria that will be used for that separation will not be whether those nations had built fancy churches or paid all of their mission shares. Don't ever tell the bishop I said that. The criteria will be whether or not they offered help to those who were unable to help themselves. those that Jesus affectionately called the least of these. In a world of want, when the least of these have been on the receiving end of one bad break after another, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. The standard of judgment that will be used was not how one helped those who were already able to help themselves, but on how one helped those who were not able to help themselves. As the letter of James proclaims, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father of this is to care for widows and orphans in distress, in other words, those who are not able to fend for themselves, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Do you see? Not only does that famous saying from poor Richard's almanac find itself in total opposition to what the Old Testament has to say, but with what the New Testament has to say as well. Under the harsh light of Scripture, it just doesn't stand up. So then, why has that phantom verse become so ingrained into our national consciousness? Why has something that is so blatantly unbiblical and perilously dangerous been taken as gospel truth by so many in our country? Susan White Crawford, who just so happens to teach religious studies down in Lincoln, has some thoughts on this. She believes that is probably because Franklin's saying is a reflection of the cherished American values of individual liberty and self-reliance. Franklin's saying fits our beloved image of John Wayne and Clint Eastwood and Sylvester Stallone bravely standing against the world almost to a T. The Lord helps those who help themselves, pilgrim. But as beloved as that image might be, it's not a biblical image. As a whole, the Bible has very little to say about bravely standing against the world. We stand, as you know, with God. As a whole, the Bible has very little to say about relying on yourself. We rely on God. No matter if we are weak or if we are strong, no matter if we are rich or if we are poor, no matter if we can or cannot help ourselves, believing that the Lord helps those who help themselves is dangerous because it forgets what the Bible says about God's basic nature. Believing that the Lord helps those who help themselves is dangerous because it forgets what biblical faith has to say about our basic nature. Believing that the Lord helps those who help themselves is dangerous because it forgets the Bible's basic message as a whole. Let's be honest now. Franklin's "the Lord helps those who help themselves" is usually not spoken in kindness. More often than not, old Ben's "the Lord helps those who help themselves" is often used to condemn those that are believed by those who use the words, believed by those to whom the words are directed, as slackers. That's certainly how Bill O'Reilly used it, right? The poor, the lower class, and various minorities have all taken their turns at having that phantom verse directed of them. That well-known saying is often used to stereotype or demean those who do not meet popular expectations, especially those American ideals of hard work and self-determination. But remember now, popular expectations, our popular expectations, have never been the same as God's expectations. God's ways, as Isaiah proclaimed, are not our ways. Franklin's proclamation that the Lord helps them who help themselves contradicts the Bible's proclamation that God not only helps those who cannot help themselves, but everything and everyone else as well. I want to give you a little sampling of those people who God helps. The Lord helps those who cannot help themselves, like the slaves in Egypt, and the Gerasene man who was held captive by so many demons that he called himself Legion. God helps those who can help themselves, like the woman with that 12-year flow of blood who, against all odds, fought her way through that crowd in a valiant effort to do nothing more than just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. The Lord helps those who have others to help him. Like the paralyzed man on the pallet whose friends were so determined to get him healed that they tore a hole in the roof and lowered him down to Jesus. The Lord helps those who do not have others to help them, like the man who sat by that pool for 38 years because no one would put him in the water once it was stirred. The Lord helps those like Lazarus and the centurion's daughter who were already dead and therefore didn't even know that they were being helped. The Lord helps those who could have helped themselves but didn't, like the 5,000 hungry souls who had come to hear him speak but had failed to plan ahead and pack a lunch. The Lord even helps those who don't even deserve to be helped, like a thief on the cross, the disciple who denied him three separate times, the tax collector that lied and cheated and betrayed his very own people. The scriptures tell us that the Lord is willing to help just about everybody. Those who do and those who don't help themselves, those who can and those who can't help themselves, even those who are unwilling to help themselves. Those are the folks that God helps. The bottom line seems to be that God is in the helping business, not the condemning business, or the mocking business, or the ridiculing business, or the finger-pointing business, or the stereotyping business, like so many of us happen to be. The Lord helps. Period. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are able to do. In the end, it is God who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble, and in every other time that you could ever possibly imagine. The Lord is in the helping business. And those of us who claim to follow the Lord are called to be in the helping business as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I really like Ben Franklin. You all know his story, and it's pretty amazing, isn't it? He fits the description of an American Renaissance man to a T. In addition to being a founding father and a rather remarkable kite flyer, he was an excellent scientist, a musician, and a satirist. If you are wearing bifocals like I am this morning, you could thank Ben for their invention. According to what the history books report, during his time in France, he was somewhat of a fashionista. And by all accounts, he filled the position of the first postmaster of the United States very admirably. No wonder we honor him by putting his picture on the $100 bill. But as good as he was at everything else, he was an absolutely terrible theologian for reasons of which we can only guess. He completely missed the point when it comes to how God helps. The Lord helps those who help themselves, maybe perfect thinking for poor Richard's almanac, but it will never ever find a place to lay its head in the Bible. For Holy Scripture tells us that the Lord not only helps those who help themselves, but everyone else as well. And thank God that that's the case. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh God, we thank you for not only helping those who are able to help themselves, but for helping those who cannot help themselves as well. You are our help, our rock, and our fortress. Amen.